Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to thee, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Ordinary time in the liturgical year is not Advent, Christmas, Lent, or Easter. Ordinary time is a season that makes up most of our time in the liturgical calendar, some 33 or 34 weeks of our year. On this third Sunday in Epiphany, Jesus is inviting us to follow him. He recruits the disciples and you and me to follow him in the midst of our daily lives. He will be the light in our darkness. We are called to listen to him, to repent when need be, and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ is with us. Jesus withdrew into Galilee upon the hearing of John's imprisonment. We're not clear why Jesus withdrew, perhaps to grieve John's arrest, to begin his own work, to reach the region that John had not been able to reach, where the people sat in darkness. Whatever Jesus' reason, his move was the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah. Matthew's gospel provides an announcement to the world. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light had dawned. Jesus' message was a continuation of John's preaching. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is here. Capernaum was the home of Peter and John. Galilee was an area in the Hellenistic times with a mixture of Jewish and Gentile cultures. The northern tribes, which had suffered severely from the hands of the Assyrians, would be delivered from their enemies. God had not forgotten them. God would bring light into their ordinary lives. To these people who lived in darkness, Jesus announced the kingdom was breaking through that darkness. A woman received a call that her daughter was sick. She stopped by the pharmacy to get medication. She went back to her car and found that she had locked her keys inside. The woman found an old rusty coat hanger left on the ground. She looked at it and said, "I don't know how to use this." She bowed her head and asked God to send her help. Within 5 minutes, a beat-up old motorcycle pulled up. It was a bearded man who was wearing an old biker's skull rag. The man got off his bike and asked if he could help. She said, "Yes, my daughter is sick. I've locked my keys in the car. I must get home. Please, can you use this hanger to unlock my car?" He said, "Sure." He walked over to the car, and less than a minute, the car door was opened. She hugged the man and through tears said, "Oh, thank you so much. You are such a nice man." The man replied, "Lady, I'm not a nice man. I just got out of prison. I was in prison for car theft." The woman hugged the man again, sobbing, "Oh, thank you, God. You sent me a professional." The disciples were professionals. Their fishing business was thriving. Do you ever wonder how or why they left everything, business, possessions, family, to follow Jesus Christ? We've heard story after story of a divine call where people left their livelihood, their families, and their possessions to follow God. In Genesis, we have Abraham's call. "Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you.'" Again in Genesis, we have God asking Noah, "Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Go into the ark, you and all your household." And then, of course, there's Moses, who was called from the burning bush in a flame of fire. In Matthew's gospel, we are assured that if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, we will have the power to live into a call. I often find myself more like Gideon, who had an angel appear to him and tell him, "The Lord is with you." Yet Gideon answered, "But sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" Or like Jonah, who fled from the Lord on a boat sailing for a foreign land, going even further into darkness. In Matthew, the call of the disciples was a call that came in ordinary time. Walking on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus came to Peter and Andrew, James and John in their ordinary lives and issued an invitation, "Follow me." This invitation was calling people to a new life, a calling that participated in God's saving work in the world. And Peter and Andrew, James and John responded to their call with radical obedience. Jesus called the disciples to something that would not only give purpose and meaning to their lives, he called them to a vocation that would change the world. They followed, and from then on, their lives would never be the same. One of the most moving funerals that I have ever done, I did when I was the rector of St. John's in Silsby. A man died. He was not a member of the church, but his sister was a member of St. John's. She asked if I would perform the service. She was quick to say, "I'm not asking you to hold the service here at the church. My brother was not a church-going man. We will have the funeral at the funeral home. But if you could come and do the service, it would mean a lot to me." Of course, I responded, "I would be happy to help." She said, "Well, I need to warn you that my brother was a happy man who had a variety of friends from many walks of life. I don't want you to be surprised. He had many business partners, and he loved to ride motorcycles, so he also had a large group of biking buddies." On the day of the funeral, sure enough, the funeral home was full of a variety of people. As the service was about to begin, I walked to the back of the room. There were men and women with suits on the right side of the aisle, and there were men and women in biking gear on the left. The service went on as planned, and I noticed there was not a dry eye on the left side of the room. The bikers were openly grieving the loss of their friend. The service at the funeral home ended, and we headed to the cemetery. When I arrived at the cemetery, one of the bikers came up to me and said, "Ma'am, if it would be okay with you when the service is over, there are several of us that would like to say something." He said, "I've asked the family, and they said it would be okay with them if it was okay with you." I said, "Of course," not really knowing what I was getting into, but hoping that the family was steering me in the right direction. After the burial, I signaled to the man to proceed with whatever he wanted to say. He began to say what the deceased man had meant to him, and then he walked over to the casket and began to take a black band off around his arm, and he wrapped that black band around one of the handles on the casket. There were probably 15 or 20 bikers who followed suit, each taking a moment to say something about their friend and how much they would miss him. Then they took their black bands off from around their arms and wrapped it around the handles of the casket. When they finished, there was not a dry eye. Today, Jesus appears in our ordinary lives, and he calls us to follow him. It is clear, according to John's gospel, that we do not choose God. God chooses us. He calls us to listen to him, to repent when necessary, and to proclaim that the kingdom is here. We all have problems and distractions, like the woman who locked her keys in the car. Sometimes our journey looks only dark, but there's medicine for us. Matthew's gospel writes that there is hope for you and me. Matthew directs the way to a new life, a life that is lived in communion with God. Follow me is the invitation for that help. The invitation comes in the transforming power of a God who has compassion and grace. Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote, "A mind that is stretched by a new experience can never go back to its old dimension." And so we, by answering Jesus' call, will never be the same again. I believe that each time the kingdom comes near, each time we experience Jesus Christ, we are transformed a little bit more into the likeness of Christ. We know it's not if we sin, but when we sin, we are to repent, to turn around. Maybe then God takes us and makes us professionals. We leave our old ways. We follow Christ with radical obedience, like Peter, Andrew, James, and John. The idea of following Christ can be so automatic that there's no looking back, no doubt. We no longer think of ourselves as special. We realize that we are part of God's church, the people of God who accept the call, and then everything changes. Every day in our ordinary lives, we see Jesus Christ working in the world, transforming lives, sending people out to bring salvation to humanity. Truly, God's kingdom is here. G. Ray Jordan, a Methodist preacher from North Carolina and a teacher of preachers at Emory University, wrote this years ago. "The hope of civilization is that we shall be able to produce enough Christ-like men and women to save it." That's the world's only hope. It was when Jesus first walked along the Sea of Galilee, and it still is today. No matter how we receive God's call in our ordinary lives, with the help of God, I pray we will accept his invitation to follow him. God walks right into our lives, inviting us to follow him, and he takes what we have, imperfect as it may be. Jesus calls us to listen to him, to repent, to proclaim the kingdom is here. The kingdom of heaven is near because it has arrived in our hearts. And then we will be able to help others find God. Then I believe our ordinary lives will be forever changed, and Jesus Christ will be known, worshiped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Amen.